with balloons filled with paint or colored water, whatever it is. I appreciate so much Christian Renee, what they're doing here. Hey, the Lord loves you. You're loved. You are loved by God. I began a series last week about the five core values of CFT, and these are our foundation. These are the things that are non-negotiable here. Last week was God is always good. Amen? God is always good. No one who will rise in heaven will be disappointed that God isn't as good as they had believed he was. But everyone who arrives in heaven will be greatly amazed that God is so, that the goodness of God is so much more than what they had dared to believe. Yeah, believe he's good, he's better. Goodness of God. And this morning, talking about God's promises are always true. God's promises, just say that with me, God's promises are always true. So we're going to talk about what that means to us, what the Bible means to us as believers, and what God's promises from his word mean in our life and how we are to live our life. Before I open up God's word, let me share a joke with you. A minister added a visual aid to a sermon by placing four worms into separate jars. The first worm was placed into a jar of alcohol and it died. The second worm was placed into a jar of cigarette smoke and it died. And sadly, the third worm was placed into a jar of chocolate and it died. The minister then asked what was learned in this lesson. And suddenly an older woman in the church quickly shouted out, "As long as you drink, smoke, and eat chocolate, you won't have worms." Today, I hope we come to the right conclusions about what we talk about. Okay. God's promises are always true. I'm going to kind of begin in reverse order by reading something I wrote for you. In this, if you turn your page over, you can follow along with me about something I wrote about the Word of God. And thank you for bearing with me. This will take just a couple of moments, but this is really important. At the very core and foundation of our Christian faith and doctrine is the absolute belief that the Bible is the Word of God. Say with me, the Bible is the Word. Come on. The Bible is the Word. Not that the Bible merely includes or records some of God's words, but that the entirety of the 66 book of the Bible, every word from beginning to end, is the Word of God. Amen. This, the Bible says this about itself in 2 Timothy 1, 15 through 17, verse 16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man or person, woman of God, may be complete, thoroughly furnished for every good work. The divine inspiration of the scriptures. All scripture is given to us by inspiration of God. The Greek word for inspired of God is theopneustos, which literally means God breathed. The Bible is not the past history of ancient peoples or the compilation of various human stories, myths, and ideas. The Bible is the inspired word of God. The Bible does not represent the greatest and highest expression of human or intellectual enlightenment. But all scripture, the entirety of the Bible, is breathed from God himself to us. This process, the process by which God accomplished this, is revealed in 2 Peter 1:20. The scriptures are not the opinions, thoughts, or concepts of men's minds and beliefs. Men wrote the scriptures as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. God inspired the authors of the scriptures. He used their human intellect, their ability, their education, and gifts. These writers were placed under the complete control and divine inspiration of the Holy Spirit to perfectly accomplish his will and the revelation of his word to mankind. This is what separates the Bible from every other book and teaching. The Bible is authored by God himself, who revealed his word and divine inspiration to men who recorded it for us. This is invaluable, irreplaceable, and absolute essential for you to securely grasp and understand. In all the world, there are many books that contain some truly inspiring thoughts and truth. But there is only one book that is holy and perfectly inspired, divinely inspired in its entirety. That book is the Bible, the Word of God. Without settling this in your heart, you will never be able to truly know God and the amazing truth that His Word alone contains for your life. Everything we are to learn about God in this life can only be safely and truthfully discovered through the study and revelation of Scriptures, which in themselves are the complete revelation of God to man. The faithful study and application of Scriptures will allow us to be that person of understanding. The description of the Bible being divinely inspired in every single word is called the plenary verbal inspiration of Scriptures. This is what we as followers of Christ believe is the absolute truth. This belief grants us access by faith into the fullness of God's blessings, will, and kingdom that His Word unveils to our life. The inerrancy of God's Word. The foundation for biblical inerrancy is shown to us in the miraculous delivery of God's Word throughout the ages, beginning with individual writers the Holy Spirit wrote the Scriptures through. Inerrancy means that the original manuscripts of each book of the Bible, there was no mistake, no factual, historical, or theological distortions, deceptions, or imperfections. The Bible was transmitted to us inerrant, perfectly. Not only were the original ancient manuscripts faultless, but the subsequent retransmissions, copies of the manuscripts made down through time, were accomplished perfectly inerrant. In all of history, there's never been such a carefully meticulous process as what even secular non-religious scholars of history and literature acknowledge occurred in the copying of Scriptures. Inerrancy means that we now read in our Bibles is exactly or perfectly what God revealed by divine inspiration, not just men or women writing the Scriptures. The infallibility of the Word of God. The second aspect of perfection in the Scriptures is what we call infallible. This means the Bible is completely unfailing in its promises and truth. It is the expression of God's absolute truth to us in every promise and revelation. Because of that, we can receive it with absolute faith and trust in the unfailing, infallible ability. God is incapable of lying, as these writers attest. Thank you for letting me read that. Now, that's just a really kind of a historical summation of what the Word of God is, okay? Our first verse today, and really what we're basing the title of today is from 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20. For all the promises of God in Him, the Him being Christ Jesus, are yes, and in Him, amen, to the glory of God. All the promises of God, what's that? The Word of God, are in Jesus, yes, and in Him, amen, to the glory of God through us. God has already given us His yes in the glorious promises of His Word. We give God our yes by faith, believing that His promises are true. So the Bible is God saying yes. The promises of God's Word are given to you as God saying yes. Your faith, believing those promises, is you saying yes back to God. A man who was a leper came to Christ and said, "If you're willing, you could heal me." Understanding that Christ had the capacity, the ability, the power to heal him, but wasn't sure of his willingness. So many believers are not sure about the willingness of God, but God wouldn't give you a promise unless he wanted to keep it. And as you read your Bible, especially when the Holy Spirit makes things come alive to you, that moment of life-giving truth and revelation is the Holy Spirit saying yes, yes, yes. And when you believe it, claim it, it's you saying yes back to God. Amen. Someone say yes.
Yes.
Okay. 2 Peter 1. Here's a beautiful description of God's Word. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ our Lord. So this is awesome. We get more of God, more of his grace comes when I have more knowledge of his kingdom. So here's how it works. People that don't know God's a healer can't enter into the grace of healing. But when they hear that by his stripes we're healed, Isaiah 53, 1 Peter 2, 24. When we hear that by his stripes healing is ours, then they can believe it. And so when knowledge comes, grace is released. The healing grace comes. That's true for, listen, even salvation. People are saved by God's word, by hearing the truth. Hearing the truth that Jesus Christ is Savior and Lord. So it comes, verse 3, as his divine power has given to us all things. Now you've got to lock into that, because the enemy in every generation assaults the trustfulness or the relevance of God's word to that generation. But his power has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who is called this by glory and virtue. So that everything I need to be godly and to be successful in life, the Bible has given me. The Bible is God's manual for being a successful human being. Now, for many years, I don't know if it's because I'm stubborn. I don't know what it is, but when Mary would buy something, and it would look so simple, and she would say, you got to put this together, Mike. I said, okay, I'll do it. She said, don't you need the instructions? I said, no. Who needs instructions? Come on, I can see the picture there. I can see the thing. I'm going to do. So half an hour, she comes into the room, and there's like 5 bolts and nuts and laying on the ground. And she says, how come you have all these extra parts? I said, I don't know. I guess they sent them extra parts. So after some kind of devastating failure, I found out it's always good to follow instructions. And it's impossible to live the life we were born for if we ignore the instructions of God's word. Everything we need, okay, so to talk about business and life and family and our own souls, everything we need, okay, so verse 4, by which then have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these promises you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Wow. So God's promises come into my life. They awaken my new nature, my Christ-like nature, my spirit that was reborn through Christ. His word comes in, strengthens my inner man, that then transforms my outer behavior. So my life changes when God's word comes in, especially in its residence, when I receive it, believe it, and renew my mind with it. That's awesome stuff. So in one of the fields that I study, psychology, you know, there's many things I've studied: theology, study of God; Christology, study of Christ; pneumatology, study of the Holy Spirit; soteriology, study of salvation; charismology, study of grace; ecclesiology, study of the church; eschatology, study of last days; angelology, angels; demonology, demons; anthropology, man; psychology, you know, the soul. All those things, and it's crazy how many variables there are in every kind of science that doesn't let God bring conclusions to it. They'll gather all this information, then make an untrue conclusion. One of the conclusions that psychology is making now, that people don't really change. We just need to help them find their path and keep walking in it, okay? So whatever you are, it's okay. It's okay, just be yourself. Well, in the kingdom, God shows us what we were made for. It with me, I don't have to give in to my predisposed yearnings or my leanings. You with me? I don't have to. The Bible changes me, man, from the inside out. Isn't that awesome? You don't have to. Well, yeah, Pastor, I'm just from a family of a bunch of hot-blooded, angry people. Well, that's good. God's going to use you to change everybody. Make you a big teddy bear. Make you kind. Okay, so the Bible changes us. Hebrews 4:12, one of my favorite scriptures about the Bible. For the word of God is living and powerful. Two great words. Zoe is the word for God's life. It's filled with God's life. Powerful is energy, is where we get the word energy. God's power and life are in his word. So God sends to you power and life through his word. You got to get this. Psalm 107 verse 20 says, he sent his word and healed them and delivered them from destruction. I think it was last year, I was in a parking lot here, and Sister Rose, an awesome minister in our church, is helping us start a outreach in Tucson. I grabbed my hand and she was very upset. Her son, a businessman in Kenya, had been in a mental institution, an asylum for the insane for about 6 months. And she said, it's witches. Witchcraft is directly responsible for it. His partners put a spell on him, all this stuff happened. Okay, so some complexity. So he's been unable to speak or have cognitive function 6 months. And so you can imagine an asylum in America. You can't imagine what asylum is like in Africa. Okay, it's worse than what you imagine. This is a prison cell. So she's telling me, I said, stop, don't tell me anymore. I grabbed her hand and I said, God, we send your word from this parking lot to that asylum in Kenya that delivers that man and sets him free. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you, Rose. So next week, she comes running down. She's running down, sprinting down. I think it was Wednesday. Comes running down. Pastor, I said, what's up, Rose? She said, Pastor, my son called me the next day. He suddenly came back to his right mind and spoke in that prison cell. And listen, she said, well, what time was it? They messed it up. It was the exact moment we prayed. God's word can be sent anywhere. When God's word's in you, it can launch out of you anywhere in the world. You can say things that change history. God wants you to be a container of revolution, and you're a revolutionary when God's word's in you. Okay? Another story. So 12 years ago, we're on family vacation in Southern California, and I got real sick, couldn't speak. A bunch of things happened. Go to the doctor in a very nice man, an expert in his field. He says, well, here's our initial diagnosis. You have this kind of cancer, and here's the outcome. Here's what we expect your life to be, including how many years you can live and the success rate. So he's talking, and about midway through his point, I said, I shall not die, but live and declare the works of the Lord. For some reason, for about a month, I've been just saying that scripture day and night. It was in me. So he said, excuse me? I said, I leaned in. I shall not die, but live and declare the works of the Lord. So I came back home. Doctor here said, yeah, it's the cancer. Yeah, blah, 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 blah. So all I can say is, so cancer's diagnosed. 3 months later, no cancer. Why? I shall not die, but live. Come on. The word of God is power. You want something to change in your life? Unleash the word on it. Okay? Word of God is living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, diastomos, two mouths. The mouth of God speaks to you by revelation. When you add your mouth to God's word, you release the two-edged sword. Sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and is the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Now, so can I just have a couple minutes to go a little deeper with that? So, your heart is capable of wild deception. Y'all with me? Oh, thank you for two of you, okay? So here's how it works. So your heart can convince you that something wrong is right. Well, I feel good about it in my heart. So this has happened to me way too many times, okay? I've been doing this 40 years. So I'm not picking on anybody. So, Pastor? Yes. I've fallen in love with someone. Okay. What's the problem? I'm married to someone else. Okay. But listen to me. But my heart tells me it's good. Oh, isn't that precious? How precious. Your little heart says that's okay. Yeah, that little lying scoundrel inside of you. That. So here's what the Bible says. When the word of God comes, it starts deciphering the confusion about decisions and moral clarity. So if you want guidance, put the word in and you'll start seeing life clearly. So your soul is separated from your spirit. So that just means your soul, which needs to be renewed, your mind, will, and emotions, have to be constantly renewed. So any decisions you make in your soul that are separated from spiritual truth or foundational biblical promises will be in error. So when the word comes, it helps you find where you've been making a mistake. Y'all with me? So don't be afraid. Man, just keep dousing yourself in God's word, and it's going to bring clarity to your decision making about the future. Okay, so it's powerful. It's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Oh, that's so awesome. Okay, Psalm 19. I love this psalm. The law of God, which is just another description of the word of God. The law of the Lord is perfect. So I just read to you for 7 minutes about the inerrancy, the infallibility, the perfection of Scripture. Okay? Converting or restoring the soul. God's word is medicine to your soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold. Yes, much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned, and in keeping them there is great reward. There is great reward. There is great, he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. We read this, I'll reread it to you. All scripture, 2 Timothy 3:16, is given by inspiration of God. So now get this. So people say, Pastor, the Bible's not really relevant. You know, we have, every generation has thought they were smarter than God. You with me, millennials? Okay, so that you make moral judgments based on what you perceive, absent the guidance of Scripture. So, for example, God loves everybody, but God doesn't approve of everybody's behavior. We're to love everybody. So people say, well, there's 1,000 things to talk about. Let's just talk about sex. So I appreciate the whole concept of sex. I think it's awesome. You with me? I hope my wife thinks it's awesome too, but I think it's awesome. Now, just plugging my... So, now listen to me. But here's what God says. You want sex? Marry someone of the opposite sex. Well, Pastor, there's so many complications. I know. God doesn't give us moral guidelines because he's uptight and doesn't want you happy. Because he loves you and doesn't want you destroying your soul. Thank you for 2 amens. I'm going to go on. Okay. That didn't go over as good as I hoped. I'm almost done. Jesus in Matthew 4, I'll just summarize it for you. The devil tempts him. Everybody say temptation. So everybody here, so the devil's 3 things. He's the tempter, Christ described him. He's the deceiver, and he's the accuser. Temptation draws us into sin. He deceives us as to the nature of the consequence of that sin. And then he accuses us after we sin. You with me? What a rat. So the tempter comes to Christ and tempts him. If you are the Son of God, listen, the greatest assault in your life will always be on God's word. The devil's not afraid of you, but he's afraid of God's word in you. Oh, yeah, baby. He's not afraid of you, But you put God's word on you and you will terrify him. So the tempter comes, if you are the son of God, command these stones to be a McDonald's BLT or whatever. Command these stones to be a steak. And Jesus said, oh, he said, devil, you're a liar. He said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. So then he tempts him again. If you're the son of God, jump off this temple. You shall not tempt the Lord your God. I'll give you all the, he shows him all the kingdoms of the world. He said, I'll give all this to you if you worship me. You shall only worship the Lord your God. Now, all three scriptures Jesus quoted are from the book of Deuteronomy, the fifth book of the Bible. Now, I love this because if you can whoop the devil from Deuteronomy, think about what you can do from Ephesians and Philippians and Romans and 1st and 2nd Corinthians. Come on now. Think about, so Jesus overcame temptation with the word. Now here's what David said, Psalm 119. I've hidden your word. Thy word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. So what God's word does, it builds your faith. So when temptation comes, you can resist it if you have built up your faith in his word. So you can always tell when your word level or your faith is weak when stuff's getting to you or people are getting on your nerves. Okay, you got to build your faith up, or when temptation feels especially strong, build up your faith. Fuel your faith. Romans chapter 10 verse 17 is what it says. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and the hearing is, I would say, hearing, your heart hearing by revelation. So listen to the sentence, okay? Revelation is God showing you what is already yours, okay? Whatever you see by revelation, God wants you to have by faith. Whatever you see, faith comes by hearing. So what does that mean? If God gives you faith, he's telling you it's yours. If God gives you revelation, he's telling you it's yours. So faith comes. Whatever you see by revelation, God wants you to have by faith. So God doesn't want us to know everything and not experience everything. You with me? If you've seen it, you're supposed to have it. If you've seen it, you're supposed to have it. Romans 12, 2. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So God's word is the way we renew our thinking. And when we change our thinking, we change our world. Your life will always follow in the same direction of your dominant thoughts. When you change your thoughts, you change your life. Now, see, we used to study in psychology. We used to say, if we can change, in fact, there's still too much evidence this way. If we can change someone's brain, we can change their mind. See, the mind is the way your brain works. It's the function of the brain. The brain is the organ. Now, but here's what the Bible says. If you change your mind, it will change your brain. Come on now. If you put new thoughts, it's a simple idea. It's called neuroplasticity. And neuroplasticity is this, that your mind is capable of new things. And when you create a new direction of thought and keep working that thought, it creates a new pathway. And the stronger that pathway, the more your life will begin to align with it. That means anybody can change when you renew your mind. If you renew your mind, you change your life. Oh, it's just awesome. God's word is how we do it. God's word is how we do it. God's word is how we do it. God's word is God's will for your life. Feed your faith and starve your doubts. As believers, reprioritize. Fall back in love with God's word, his love letter to you. His how to do manual, his will and testament, his promises, and let our faith grow until we can change this world, because we're believing God, We're believing His promises. Hey, would you stand to your feet and give God praise this morning? Thank you for being such an attentive audience. Thank you, Jesus. Prayer team, would you join me down front, please? I will rest. Help me, Edward, in your promises.
This is my confidence. Is your faithfulness, and I will rest in your promises, my confidence.
Come on, someone raise your hands to God.
Is your faithful?
I will rest, I will rest in your promises, my confidence. Come on.
Is your faithfulness?
I will rest
in your promises, my confidence is your faithfulness.
All your promises, come on. All your promises are yes. Come on, someone declare it boldly this morning, come on.
All your promises are yes and amen.
We say yes to you, Papa, come on.
All your promises are yes and amen. All your promises are yes and amen.
Now listen to me for a minute. I have this unusual prophetic gift. And just in the last month, I prophesied to 1,000 people individually. So not bragging, just telling you a fact. Individual prophecies. If I wanted to, I could build this church on my gift. And all afternoon prophesy for hours, hundreds of people. But I've determined to build this church on God's word and not my gift. Because my gift makes you dependent to me. But God's word makes you dependent to Him. Come on, this is a word church. We build our lives on God's word. And God's promises are always true. Come on, sing it. All your promises, God, come on.
All your promises.
Come on, let me hear you declare.
All your promises are yes and amen. And all your promises. Your faithfulness, and I will rest in your promises. My confidence is your faithfulness.
All your promises, come on.
All your promises are yes and amen.
I believe it, God.
All your promises are yes and amen.
Listen. I need to let you go before we do today, in Jesus' name. I pray for God to touch anyone here who's hurting. Anyone who's in physical pain, I just loosen healing to you, precious ones, in Christ's name. If you're here today, if you've never received the free gift of the forgiveness of your sins, today's your day. The Bible says, whoever calls on the name of Jesus will be saved. The Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. If you've never given your heart to Christ, make this today. If you've been away from God, make this your homecoming Sunday. If you need prayer, you're going through a storm this morning, don't leave without getting prayer. If you have not yet received the gift of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in a heavenly tongue, we would love to pray for you. If you don't know what that means, we'll tell you down here. Anyone needs prayer, come forward. We're going to dismiss in just 90 seconds. All your promises. Come forward to need prayer.
All your promises.